If you think you can't go from politics to the divine, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hello, everyone. I'm Carol Gold. The number here is 914-803-4522. We're here for the next half hour, and we've got a lot to talk about. So, Steve, join me, my co-host, Steve Clark. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
Steve, there's 8 or 9 stories that are in the news. Maybe they're not on the front page, but they're news over the weekend. And I want to just run through them real fast, and then we'll go through them one at a time. The reason I want to run through them fast first is they're almost an incredible, meaning a hard-to-believe list of news that broke either over the weekend or that's unfolding as we speak. So here's the first one. The mayor of Seattle, Washington, has convened the local board to figure out how to help Muslim residents of Minneapolis buy houses because under Sharia law, they're not allowed to pay interest. Muslims aren't allowed to pay interest. So the mayor of Minneapolis wants to figure out how to help Sharia observant Minneapolis, or whatever you're called if you live in Minneapolis, how to get houses without paying interest. So it begs the question, who's going to wind up paying the interest on those loans? Or is it going to be a lot like the subprime mortgage fiasco with people who couldn't afford those mortgages? Martin O'Malley, Democratic candidate for president in 2016, spoke at Netroots Nation over the weekend. It's a liberal organization. They were in Phoenix. They had a convention of sorts. He spoke, and he said to an audience that had a lot of black members sitting in it, "Black lives matter. All lives matter." And the moment he said "all lives matter," the place went berserk, screaming at him, profanities at him, and in true Democratic form, today and yesterday and today, Martin O'Malley has apologized for saying white lives matter. But more than that, he wouldn't say white lives matter when he apologized, because now that's politically incorrect, or that all lives matter, that's politically incorrect. He said WLM and ALM are phrases he should not have used. So political correctness stood on its ear. All lives apparently don't matter. President Obama is now seeking to have guns taken away and ammunition taken away from anyone who is on Social Security and does not receive their checks directly, but rather has someone managing their money for them. So I assume that the basis for that is that they're not competent, and yet I can see an awful lot of instances where elderly people who don't want to handle the finances because it's too stressful or because they can't do the math anymore and they don't want to be responsible for their finances with that level of responsibility, yet nonetheless could protect themselves in their home in a home invasion if they were armed or if they had a carry permit in a carry state and they were accosted. So the first salvo across the bow of the boat for getting gun control is no guns for seniors who have their finances administered by someone else if the Social Security check has a power of attorney going to someone else. Data collection, it appears that our president is now racially data collecting information in order to determine whether or not neighborhoods across the country are discriminatory and what would constitute a discriminatory neighborhood if you had less than 50% of the population of your neighborhood being of a minority race. Therefore, if you live, let's say, in a multimillion-dollar neighborhood and there aren't 50% at least minorities in your neighborhood, they will be able to force integration of your neighborhood and perhaps even subsidized housing based on the data they're collecting now. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, spitting on the sidewalk and no vagrancy and no loitering laws have now been removed from the books in Minneapolis. Why? Because the majority of people who do spit on the sidewalk and are cited accordingly or are vagrant and loitering are minorities. Therefore, the brilliance of Minneapolis has concluded that the laws are discriminatory. Therefore, they must be taken off the books and have been. Sorry, a little bit of a dry throat here. The Iranian deal, as late as this afternoon, the nuclear deal on Iran, 15-0 in favor of in the UN Security Council, the president trying to end run our Congress. And within minutes of that vote, the Iranian diplomat went nuts on Samantha Power, our representative at the UN, just completely degrading the United States verbally. And, and Iran is now saying that the deal doesn't cover their ballistic missiles. Even though there was a ballistic missile development prohibition in the deal, they're saying it doesn't apply to their ballistic missiles because their ballistic missiles aren't intended to do any harm. I have a question, which is, why are there no flags at half-mast on the White House or in government buildings for the four Marines and the one soldier who was killed in Chattanooga? And lastly, through all of this, what is the mainstream media doing? They're barraging us with Donald Trump. Why? It's an easy target. It makes the Republican Party look idiotic, and it detracts us from all of these other things that are really important. So, Steve, I know we have probably each much to say about both of them. Let's just start, since you are in finance and you know well what happened with the subprime mortgage fiasco. Look at this ridiculous approach in Seattle to helping, number one, it's acknowledging Sharia law as the law of the land of sorts, because it's the law of the land in Minneapolis. If the mayor of Minneapolis wants to help Sharia-compliant Muslims buy houses in a non-Sharia market, basically, what is that? How does that ring true to you, Steve, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, you kind of bit up a lot there, Carol. So let's start with the first question. For most people that are not aware, Muslims in the Arabic world, Muslims have what are bonds that are called Sharia law bonds, or however you want to say it, Muslim compliant bonds. And they're structured in a variety of ways, but it's essentially saying, you know, interest is not interest, is really what it is. And over the years, the financial houses have been trying to develop ways to create more of these bonds, to sell more bonds to the Arabic world. It really is what it is. But I find it, you know, quite unusual in the U.S. market. It sounds to me, and again, having not looked at it, but it sounds to me like another gimmick by banks to sell to more customers is really kind of the way that I look at it, that they're trying to figure out new ways to market to Muslims. And in this instance, I would say if it's somebody who's trying to create a product to sell to the Muslims, I would say the banks are going to make out on this and not the Muslims, because they're going to figure out a way to get their money. But getting back to the original point, it's a ridiculous, you know, concept here in the United States, is that we have banking and finance principles that go back ages and centuries that have worked for the Western world in the way that we've done business, and it's, for the most part, it's worked fairly well over centuries of banking that it has done. It's stood the test of time. So it seems to me ridiculous that we would incorporate something like that into our system. But I think what it also says is, as you've kind of pointed out, it's also kind of another measure where the West is kneeling down again, once again, to comply and placate the Muslim population to get them more ways that they can live here in the U.S. and feel more comfortable, which I think is really what the root of this discussion is about, Carol.
Well, Steve, let me just add this. As a Jew, I can tell you that in Orthodox Judaism, you're not a Jew is not allowed to charge another Jew interest. It is a similar concept that is in Islam. So, number one, that law of sorts already exists within the Jewish religion the same way it exists within the Muslim religion. The difference is, number one, and by the way, there are Muslim banks that specifically only loan to Muslims, and they're in this country, and they don't charge interest. So a Muslim can go to a Muslim bank and be Sharia compliant. More importantly, this to me is one of those examples of stark contrast of how people either figure their own way out of their own mess, or they look for a government to get them out of the mess or solve their problem. As I said, this law has been in Judaism it's back to biblical times. You don't see Jews in this country forcing or trying to force or pressure any non-Orthodox Jewish bank or organization to figure out ways to loan money to Orthodox Jews so that they don't have to pay interest. What Orthodox Jews do is they borrow and they make loans within their own communities. And so if you have a religious requirement, such as a no-interest loan, whether you're a Muslim or you're an Orthodox Jew, it's not incumbent upon the secular world to accommodate your religious requirement. You satisfy that within the confines of your own religion, and the example that I give is Judaism. So I think, Steve, that it is, on the one hand, you're right. The banks will make out good if they figure out a way, although interestingly enough, who's going to pay that interest if not the consumer who's not Muslim? But if they figure out a way to do it, the banks will make out, it's true. On the one hand, it's probably a good financial deal from the lender's standpoint. And from the borrower's standpoint, it will be a good deal as well because it will expand the opportunity for Muslims to borrow outside of Sharia-compliant banks within that are Muslim banks. However, for the society at large, it's one more chip into the structure of what has been our Western democratic way of life, and it's another inching of Sharia into our national way of life. And I think it's one more huge mistake, but we seem to be making a lot of them lately. Steve, what did you think of Martin O'Malley apologizing for saying all lives matter?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's on its face, it's an innocuous statement. It's meant as a politician trying to, I would say, just trying to realize, trying to bring people together. I think is actually kind of a noble thing to say, that all lives should matter and the violence should end. And it just, I have a weird take on some of these things. I actually believe a lot of the critique that on some of these cases, it's kind of a reverse racism that exists in a lot of these black organizations. I don't say all of them, but when I see comments like that, I just think it's a reverse racism, that there's a racism involved that takes place that, is meant to silence, critics. And unfortunately, I would say if you had somebody, more like a Ted Cruz or a Scott Walker or even Donald Trump, they wouldn't, bow to that pressure that's coming this way. And I think it's just kind of a sad state of affairs that we're now being forced, and we're being checked into positions where where more and more of what you say and more of what you can't say, it just gets limited and stifled. And I think, I'm going to go back to this, this point of Donald Trump. I think part of what just appeal is to Donald Trump and there's a lot of flaws in the candidacy, but I think, part of his appeal is that he's just like, enough. You know what? I'm not going to apologize for every position that I have and everything that I say that I have to apologize on. I'm allowed to speak freely, and I'm allowed to make mistakes, and I'm allowed to have opinions. And if you don't like it, so be it. And I think that's actually, it's just quite the opposite of what's happened to O'Malley. And I want to just make one other point. I don't know if you saw this also, Carol, but Scott Walker was was pressed on a question of whether he thought homosexuality was a choice. And I thought he gave a good response. He's like, listen, I can't have an opinion on every single subject and every topic matter. I don't have an opinion on that one, so let's move on to the next one. And it's a valid point. It's impossible for all these politicians to have a viewpoint on every single thing. But I think what's fascinating about that comment that he made, which kind of goes back to O'Malley, is that all these things, all these comments that you make become limitless tests on what you can say and what you can say. So right now, the questions that are going to be asked you is, what do you think about gay marriage? What do you think about the Confederate flag? Is homosexuality a choice? Do Black Lives Matter? So, I mean, the intro to the show is you kind of highlighted some really alarming things that are taking place, but the left kind of drives it to, five or six talking points that they want to address. And the reason why they want to address those things is to actually limit speech by the candidates. I know I said a lot there, Carol, but I know you have a lot to add there as well.
I just really want to say two things, and one is about Donald. Well, let me save that for last because it's the funnier one, I guess, unless you're a Catholic, and then maybe it's not so funny, and you are a Catholic, so we'll see what you think. But first, let me say that what concerns me about the All Lives Matter and that now not being politically correct, when I hear that, I don't think of race problems. I think of abortion. If you can't say all lives matter, then no wonder we can kill millions of babies every year. Because apparently all lives don't matter anymore. Certain lives matter. And by the way, what the segue from that story of only certain lives matter is a perfect segue, and I'll remember the Donald Trump comment. I won't forget it. But for now, it's a perfect segue into all lives don't matter, because if they did, the flag on the White House would be at half-mast for the four Marines that were slaughtered in Chattanooga. That is shameful, in my opinion, that we are not flying the national flags at half-mast for those four Marines. Don't you think that? Do you feel that way, Steve?
Yeah, but I knew he would never fly those flags. I just knew it in my heart. He would never do it. It's not something that he believes. He doesn't believe. I mean, I don't know how you could call it any other way, but I think he definitely sympathizes with the Muslim cause. And I'm not saying obviously, I don't think he wants to see Marines die. But I just think that it's another thing that he does not want to bring attention to the news that Marines were killed by a terrorist organization. It's just not who he is. He avoids the subject at all costs, and he goes out of his way to get this off the news. It doesn't surprise me at all. And the Marines I'm still friendly with many Marines on the message boards, and they're all pissed. But I think they're pissed for the wrong reasons. I think these guys are missing the fact of who he is. He is sympathetic to the Muslim cause, and he'll never highlight anything that goes or anything that would make the Muslim case look bad. So that's really how I see it, Carol.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't think he's the issue. It's just they lit up the White House with the LGB, and I never remember all the letters, but what is it?
LGBT. And what they mean. I don't know either.
Okay, LGBT. So it must be lesbian, gay, LGB, bi, and trans.
Transsexual.
Right? Okay. So LGBT. They lit up the White House faster than you could say LGBT the night that the Supreme Court passed the gay marriage act or opinion, came down with the gay marriage opinion, making it law of the land. So that they could jump to do. I don't blame them. That's what they believe in, despite the fact that since that opinion came down, more people are against gay marriage as the law of the land than were before the opinion came down. But I don't blame them for lighting up the White House with those colors because that's what they believe, just like I don't blame him for not bringing the flag down at half-mast for the Marines. I am disgusted with us because we silently allow this to happen. It's not enough that the Marines on the message boards are infuriated. The nation ought to be infuriated. Those four young men were willing to risk their lives on behalf of this nation, a call to duty, and no matter how you cut it, they died in service to their nation. Maybe not the way it's intended in terms of defending your nation in times of war, but they died in service to their nation, and I blame us for allowing them to continue to get away with this degradation of things American, be it capitalism or be it Christianity or Judaism or the military, and we just go along as if we have no power. And can you imagine the furor if people actually picked up their phones every single day and just locked those White House phone lines and fax machines and emails to these congressmen, to their local offices, to their district offices, to their D.C. offices, day after day saying, enough, you know, I'm voting you out of office next time, enough, we're done with you. But no, people just go on their merry way. They just go on their merry way. And I don't... Quite honestly, I don't understand it. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm out there picketing the White House or that you are either, and I don't know what you're doing other than this show. But, Steve, at least we do this show. At least we come on here twice a week and we make our best effort to bring these stories together in a way that causes people to sit up and think. You can't listen to this show and not think that something is terribly amiss with our nation. And so let me just go ahead, respond, because the Trump comment is on another track, and I don't want to preempt you if you want to respond to that.
No, I just want to say one thing that it's amazing to me that the White House has been able to completely dominate the narrative, and they have the media on board, and it's almost like they go back and forth and they decide what the talking points are, and that's what drives it. That's the first thing. And the second thing that I think is important is that, let's call it what it is, the media is in the business, and the business is of who can deliver them results. And Trump, because the way he speaks and the way that he talks, delivers him results. And to the extent that they can continue to criticize him and destroy them and get ratings out of it, That's what they're going to continue to do. So I think that is going to go on for quite a long time. It's being done intentionally. They don't want the real stories to come out. And thirdly, I think the generation below us, I think there's in some ways we have as much news as that we've ever had, but I think there's an element that's also taking place is that, you know, if you look at just what's happening right now, cable companies are unbundling their services. There's a huge movement that people are no longer consuming the media the same way. And so because the media doesn't report on many of these stories, you actually have to search it out more. And because the millennials, let's call it what it is, that huge swath of generation below us is not getting the news from the media and are not finding out about it, it's almost as if it's not even happening. So they're not even aware of many of these stories that are taking place. And I think it's being done purposely. There's an intent to keep the populace uninformed and misinformed at the same time.
I agree with you, and I think there's several reasons why they're doing it. You've identified a couple of them. I think another reason is, regardless of what you think of their political standing, this field of potential Republican candidates are a pretty bright bunch. You've got some really intelligent, well-learned, articulate, in the case of Ted Cruz, truly brilliant debater and strong constitutionalist. Rand Paul, strong constitutionalist. Mike Lee, articulate. You've got people who would be having a very enlightening and intelligent impact right now, but you know what? That you're right. They don't want... better to focus on the blonde-haired clown, and he gives them something every day. And, you know, in a way, it's good because he's going to create an audience for the Republican debate on August 8th, the first debate, probably double what they would have had otherwise if he's in the debate, and he will be, because people want to see the show. They want to see the dog and pony show. The downside is that he is precluding, he's raising important issues, but he's precluding intelligent discussion about them. Donald Trump's remedies for many people would be offensive if they knew what his true political agendas were and where his what his stand is, because he was a Democrat until what, 07 or 08. He believes in big government. He believes in taxing the rich. He's not a conservative. He has changed opinions several times on critical matters. You know, he's not a Ronald Reagan, I was once a Democrat and now I'm a Republican, and I've spent 15 years showing you my bona fides as a conservative. That's not who he is. And some of his policies combined with his personality could actually be, you know, a horrendous presidency. And more than anything, he's precluding the intelligent debate. I'm hoping that on that debate on the 8th, although with so many on the stage, I don't know, we'll begin to get a taste for what some of the others can contribute. As long as Donald Trump is in this field, and as long as he is making news, he will be the news every single day, because that's what they want. I agree with you, Steve. We've got like 3 minutes left. Let me just interject about Trump, by the way. You know, the story they've been running with is what he said about John McCain and that I'm not being a war hero. And even that, if you listen to the whole tape of that interview, he doesn't make it sound as bad as he does when they take the excerpt, because he does say repeatedly, four times, I think, and Michelle Malkin wrote an the reporter who left CBS, Cheryl Atkinson, wrote a piece about, he said four times he is a war hero. He backtracked even on his own statement in that very interview where he made the comment. But what was really funny, Steve, was, I mean, you may not think it's funny, they asked him, do you ever, like, turn to God? And he said, not really. No, I just kind of try to be the best guy I can. And, you know, I sip the juice and I eat the little cracker. And Steve, he sips the juice and eats the little cracker. I believe that he's talking about taking communion. Am I not right?
Yeah, he is. You know, with Trump, I don't get mad at him. I think he... he just says so many things, and he. I think that's part of his appeal. I mean, if Catholics got offended or Jews got offended about all the things, the derogatory things that were said about us, would be forever furious at everybody. So you just laugh it off. I mean, he is who he is.
Yeah, I think the important thing about him more than anything, and if you want to read my blog, it's on our website, AboveTheFrayPodcast.com. I wrote a blog called The Inarticulate Messenger, Donald Trump. He's bringing some important things to light. Do not shoot the messenger. The message is really good. What we need now is intelligent debate and policy approaches and ways of addressing the issues that he's been so terrific at bringing to the forefront. Steve, we're out of time. I knew this show would fly by. We didn't get into one or two of the other stories that I spoke at the beginning, but, you know, we'll probably do that again on Thursday night. So unless there's something major in between, we'll be back finishing up this discussion on Thursday. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate the audience. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
And you've been listening to Above the Fray.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.